something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So in COVID, we had 2 years without any money coming in.
We had
about 6 weeks left of being able to keep the house.
Really?
And then thank goodness we were allowed tours back in. Jesus. And filming and other stuff.
Filming and other stuff is the topic of today's episode. We're back with Eleanor Campbell, the Duchess of Argyll, who I should stress is not the Duchess referred to in the title of this episode, but in fact the current First Lady of Inverary Castle. Last time we heard all about the Campbell clan and their murderous ways. This time, Eleanor's going to be telling us about a shipwreck with a curse, a headless man, and a sensational case of revenge porn from the 1960s that rocked the British press. And it's not just scandal that this castle attracts.
People write to me, I'll get 20 emails a day saying, can I do X? And a lot of time you'll say no. But you know, if it's a good idea, of course I'll consider it.
Yeah.
Isn't it? But obviously it has to be commercial for me. Mm-hmm. Or it's got to be good for the community. So I've got, you know, if it's a charitable thing, of course I'll...
Yeah, so it can't be just a secret sorted sex party in...
That's not going to happen on my watch,
in the right way.
Not going to happen on my watch, no. But if the community wants to do something charitable, of course I'll consider that and I won't charge the local community. But if you want wedding, car rally... Filming.
A car rally.
Anything.
Oh, yeah, you've had lots of filming. You've had the Downton Abbey 2012 Christmas special.
We did. It was great.
Tell me about that. How was that?
So that was brilliant. So they rang us, the Downton Abbey Carnival Productions, and said, can we check you out? And we want authentic Scotland. So we want, like, hills, we want deer, and we want rainbows, and we want lochs, and we want glens. And they came for the recce, and it was one of those days that... I mean, it was amazing. So that, you know, that we took them up the hill and the deer sort of walked past them sort of prancing in a neat row.
Oh,
and a rainbow came out and, you know, it was absolutely perfect. It was perfect.
Everyone got the memo.
Yeah, so red squirrels hopping their way past. It was perfect. It was absolute Scotland perfect. Porpoises jumping out of the loch. We were really lucky. It was perfect.
Lucky.
And so they filmed the Christmas special, which was great. And we weren't allowed to tell anyone what was going on because they'll pull it.
Bursting with wanting to tell everyone.
But we've got Maggie Smith and, you know, Michelle Doherty and whatever, all walking through our very small town. So it's pretty obvious.
Oh, that's a shame. I would be doing everything I can to try and have a whiskey with Maggie Smith or talk to her in any capacity.
No.
No? All right, fair enough. I think me and Maggie would get on quite well, actually. I think we'd enjoy a whiskey together. She could tell me all about her acting career, working for the National Theatre and the Royal Shakespeare Company, winning her Oscars, what it was like to work with Orson Welles, you know. And I could tell her about the stuff that I've done, like, actually, do you know what? I don't think I've got time for this. Sorry, Maggie. I'm actually quite busy recording here in the studio, in this tiny room, surrounded by bedsheets. What else did they film at the castle?
Lots of documentaries. So we've got one on PBS that's been going for about 10 years now, which is huge still, amazingly, on what it's like to live in a house like ours. Mm-hmm. And then we did a British Scandal, which was the story of my husband's step-grandmother.
Yes. Yeah.
So we did that. So they came to us in lockdown because you were still allowed to film in lockdown. You weren't allowed any tourists.
Yes.
Indeed. And we were really quite run out of money by then. And then they said, they rang us first of all, you know, Zoom, as we all did in lockdown, and said, just let you know, we're going to film about your grandfather and your step-grandmother. And you basically can't stop us. We're going to do it anyway, which is fine. That was very nice, courteous, very courteous.
Sure, that. Lovely.
Because it has, you know, it's quite a scandalous story for our family. And we said, oh, no, no, but actually we haven't had any money. Would you like to film here? And they went, well, you'd never agree to that. And they went, no, we would actually just come and film anyway. So they were brilliant. They were absolutely amazing. They were so fresh. And we all, you know, it was the amazing kilt lady made all the kilts for them.
I guess because you can just go, hey, do you want any local contacts for anything? Here you go, have all this.
So we did. So we said, you know, obviously, you know, the Duke's got to wear the right kilt and whatever, and here's the best number.
Nice.
So our lovely friend made those.
She must love you.
Well, she was brilliant because we weren't allowed to know who it was, but we knew it was a celebrity. So she emailed me going, he's 6'3" with a 32-inch waist. Who is it? So we were then like, ooh, who is it?
Yeah.
So the teenage daughter was like, oh, I really hope it's... Chris Hemsworth. And I was like, no, I don't think he's 6'3" or whatever with a 32-inch waist. So we were all guessing, and it was Paul Bettany. And Claire Foy.
Oh, yeah, Paul Bettany's very lot thinner. Yes, very nice.
So sort of tall, lanky. Sorry if that's not a compliment, Paul Bettany. And
Claire Foy. Athletic. Let's call him athletic.
Athletic, okay. Anyway.
He's quite lanky. He's very handsome. I'm sure Paul Bettany is, well, if you are listening to this podcast, Paul.
No doubt.
We mean no insult.
And then Claire Foy was playing Margaret Argyle. So
lovely.
Yeah. So they did 2 weeks filming, and then they were meant to be filming on Mull and whatever as well. But actually, because it was lockdown, they just filmed in the loch as well. So there was a lot of jumping into the loch.
Yes, of course.
Looking for our secret hidden galleon that's actually on Mull, but no one can find it. So
there's a galleon that's meant to be hidden in the loch.
So in the Bay of Tobermory, so you know on Ballymore, the children's programme, that village with the coloured houses, which is
story?
On the bay. Exactly.
I know.
But that's because you're old enough.
I know Ballymore. We all know Ballymore. Okay.
So Ballymore is really called Tobermory, and it's in Mull.
I didn't know that at all.
It's a bay in Mull. And then in Armada times, the pay ship of the Armada, so it's got the Pope's crown, millions of gold coins, whatever, it went down in Tobermory Bay. And we own whatever is
full
shipwrecked
of gold.
In that bay, yes. So
why,
it's brilliant.
Why are you here? Why aren't we looking for this?
Because every generation has wasted millions, or the equivalent of millions, trying to find this ship.
I bet, yeah. I'd be buying a snorkel and a metal detector immediately and going down there. And
exactly. But, but the money, of course, no one's got the money to do that anymore. That's, you know, that's millions that no one's got.
That's true.
Yes. So anyway. Yeah.
That's a shame.
And it is thick mud. So apparently it's like a little bit of water and then Marmite. Not actually Marmite, but it's like Marmite. Right. So finding something down there, it's not...
It's all going to sink properly into the mud. So
it's just
really,
thick, gloopy mud. So it's not a question of, you know, oh, look, there's, you know, there's
right,
a Pope's crown glistening on the seabed.
Yeah.
It doesn't
here's a big
like
chest
that.
And you open exactly. up and gold shines through.
It's not like that. But there is a curse too. So anyone who finds
a curse?
The curse
what's
of the galleon.
What's the curse?
So whoever finds that galleon will be struck by fire. So every generation has tried to find it. And then Torquil's dad, so my husband's dad, we're now in like the 70s. He was looking for it with his snorkel, I think, or maybe a bit more professional than that. But not. I don't think he was like with a big team. I think he found this bit of wood and he brought it up and he had it tested and it was the right wood from the right era down there. All much excitement. Castle burns down. Yeah.
Wow.
Almost immediately. So in like 1976, and there's a massive fire in the castle. And yeah.
Oh, wow.
So hopefully the curse is broken. So now...
Do you think it was just a one-time curse? And then...
Got to hope.
I don't think...
And there's been 2 big fires in the castle, but this one was because the galleon thing was found, or it was an electrical problem in a cupboard.
I think I'm leaving the galleon to be.
I think
something's telling you, just don't touch that.
Don't touch galleon. Although it would save every problem.
Oh, you'd have an amazing roof. Well, unless it burned down.
That's true.
What was the second fire that happened in the...
There was one in Queen Victoria's daughter's time.
What happened there? Do you
so,
remember?
So there was a lightning strike.
Do you remember?
I don't remember. I'm only 50.
Sorry, not remember. Do you know of what
I was only 50 in January as well. It's not that long. So there was a lightning strike under Queen Victoria's daughter's time. We had,
really?
If you picture the castle, the top floor's got massive glass windows and they were stained glass in those days and there was a lightning strike and then there was a fire.
Shit. Right, off a light, so excuse, pardon my French.
Yes, goodness.
Goodness, golly. A lightning, that's unusual though.
We have lightning rods now, luckily.
Do you?
Yeah, lots. So sure. Princess Louise and her husband lived in another house they had about an hour away. But they let out the castle. So I found the brochure. I found the equivalent of a lettings brochure in the attic in lockdown, which is brilliant. It said, you know, we do have running water, but we don't have electricity and we don't have this and that, but we do have lots of rabbits to shoot. And that was meant to be a big selling point.
Three stars.
There was the use of a carriage. It was brilliant. It's a really great, and it was like a little A4 folded into three with useful information if you want to rent a castle that's just burnt down.
Yeah, no roof or any running water.
I think they built it up
by then. But you can shoot a rabbit.
We don't have any rabbits now, but maybe they got rid of them then.
They've all been shot, yeah.
Yeah.
We have mentioned this woman several times, and now it is time for us to...
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
To talk about her to the full extent, it's the Dirty Duchess, or is it you call her Margavarg?
Margavarg, Margaret Argyle. So she was called Margaret Wigham.
Yeah.
See, we're quite sharp us Campbells, you see. Margavarg. See what we did there?
Yeah,
she's called Margavarg. I think that was her nickname in the press after when the divorces were going on.
Margivargi. So let's get right back to her. Let's put her into context. It's your...
My husband's grandfather
your husband's...
was married four times.
Right.
And when we're in the war now, so we're in the Second World War, so things are pretty chaotic, obviously. So he's married, first of all, to a Beaverbrook, and they own the Daily Express. And then that didn't work out. And then he got married again to my husband's grandmother, called Louise Clues, and she was an American. And her family set up, one of the people who set up Wall Street. The Americans were busy sending over their very rich, beautiful daughters to get married. It was quite because they were like the Marlboroughs, which is called Vanderbilt. They did it. All these big families did it.
Your great-grandfather had quite a good time.
Yes. So you basically married someone for their money and they married for the title and it was tick, tick. But of course, in real life, that's never going to be a great marriage, is it?
It's not how I would advise anyone to marry. You know.
No. So the second wife, that didn't work out. And then he got captured. He was a prisoner of war for quite a long time. And he came out of the war and he was apparently 6 stone. And very damaged.
Oh, my God, really?
And he then married Margavarg.
She's the third
She's called
one.
Margaret Wigham.
She got him when she lost the money. She got him at 6 stone.
Yeah, so I think he was hopefully putting on a bit of weight, but he was really damaged, and he was an alcoholic allegedly before the war. So to go into the war and then be treated presumably not very well
that
in a prisoner of war,
yeah.
And then come out and PTSD, who knows, isn't it? That didn't really exist in those days, did it? Extraordinarily. It wasn't recognised.
It wasn't what they call it. Well, they call it shell shock.
Yeah, shell shock. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. Or, and if you... you were feeble, weren't you, or something terrifying.
Just man up.
Yeah.
Just man up and get on with it.
Watched all your friends being blown up.
Stiff upper lip.
Yeah, awful. Anyway, so I think he came out very damaged anyway, and then he married this woman for her money, and she married for the title. And I've read all the letters, so I have got the letters. I have read them. I think they were genuinely... I think they really did love each other to start off with, but I think they were completely different.
What sort of stuff did they talk about in the letters?
So the letters, I found the letters in lockdown, so no one's got the letters. I have the
letters. Oh, that's a lovely find in lockdown.
Yes, exactly.
That would have
so I cleared the
hours.
Attic in lockdown.
Yeah, wow.
That was my exciting job. So I...
Talk us through the letters, please.
Well, it was... So I was reading when Britain was shutting down, so I was reading these same letters. So it said things like, you know, London's completely emptied, because the war had broken out. It said, London's completely emptied, there's no one around. If you're lucky enough to have another house or friends in the country, you've gone. And that's exactly what London was doing as well.
Yeah.
So London, lots of parts of London were just...
That's what I did.
Emptying. If you were lucky enough, exactly, to have a relation or someone who lived in the country, you took it, didn't you? Because no one really knew what was going to happen. And, you know, there were all those rumours that the tanks were moving into Clapham and, you know, everyone was panicking because no one knew, did they?
Yeah.
And these letters were really similar.
Interesting.
Yeah. Written from Margvag to my husband's grandfather and back again, just also saying this, you know, it's really weird. Everyone's just gone a bit mad and the streets are empty. He said, I'm sitting in my club and I'm the only person here and, you know, everyone's panicking. They got married and then I think it all started to go pear-shaped because I think he was an alcoholic and
difficult
to live with. And she
was a tough
person.
She'd
also fallen down a lift shaft and was quite damaged herself. So apparently she walked into a lift and there wasn't a lift and she fell all the way down and was amazing that she lived. But I think apparently after then she wasn't as normal as she had been before. Or, you know, she wasn't as the same character she had been before.
My God, yeah, I'd love to have been a... fly on the wall for some of their pillow talk conversations.
So I think, you know, they were obviously very passionate,
insane.
I think, but not necessarily always in the right way. I think there was really, you know, lots of heated arguments. And she had money, he had the title, blah, blah. And he wanted the money spent on Inverara, the house we live in Scotland, and maybe she wanted something a bit...
more different, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but they were living in Inverara.
Yes.
And this is when the scandals started happening in the... talk us through the scandals and then tell us how...
Well, this is, again, only based on the press. Because
right, exactly. How
there's nothing really out there.
They?
Oh, I think the scandals were, you know, she was known for having affairs and he also wanted to get rid of her, I think, ultimately. And they were, you know, when they wanted to get divorced, I think they were busy trying each other's, you know, as many tricks as they could to get out of it.
Talk us through some of the affairs she's alleged to have had.
So the main one that was in the court case was called the Headless Man scandal. And it was a photograph, a Polaroid, and apparently only the British government had access to Polaroids in those days. Or I don't know if it was a Polaroid, but it's like an equivalent of a Polaroid. And it's a picture of her on her knees, and there's a man who's standing up, and the man's head has been cut off in the picture. So it's called the Headless Man scandal. So, and even by our quite unshockable pictures, I've seen the picture, isn't it? And even now, you don't expect that picture to come out in public ever. I mean, that's... It's sex shaming, isn't it? It's just you would now...
Oh, yeah, be right, revenge porn.
It's exactly, that's what it was. That's basically what it was.
Wow. How graphic is it, do you mind me saying?
It's pretty graphic.
Can you see it? Like, is it from behind her head or is
it
side on?
I think it's sideways from what I can remember. No, it's pretty graphic.
Oh, so
and then he had
it?
To
wow.
prove it wasn't him in the picture.
Because
this was used in the divorce case, so he's got to then prove.
How do you prove?
Apparently,
that?
Look, so they got doctors
they
in to have a look.
They
say,
look
oh,
at
no,
his,
that's not
his
you.
Manhood
yeah.
and go.
Yeah, because he had a mole or a dimple or whatever.
Exactly.
I don't know. But yeah, apparently, you know, I'm not asking too many questions. But I think it was he had a scar or something.
Would you mind just swinging your balls a bit? Oh, no, they're way too low hanging.
I think exactly. If you look at the very British scandal on the telly, you know, in come the doctors, but the actual. This was all based on the newspaper cuttings, the very British scandal was.
I've got to say. The fact that a Polaroid was taken means there's a third person in the room.
Exactly, in the cupboard.
So in the cupboard?
In the cupboard, taking a picture in the cupboard. Well, this is what I understood, that he was in the cupboard taking the picture.
Oh, right, so you think he's secretly taking the picture,
yes.
rather
no,
than
so
he's a third person who's involved?
No, he's not in the...
Are we sure about that?
Yes, because he's hired by Torquil's grandfather to prove that his wife is committing adultery.
So this guy who's been hired has just been hiding in the cupboard for hours and hours waiting for hopefully her to do something sexual. Okay.
Yeah. Allegedly. Anyway, so they it was then all used in court, and it was, you know, no one had seen pictures like that. Even, you know, we were saying by our standards, you don't generally see pictures like that in public. But this was used in court to prove that she had been committing adultery so they could get divorced.
And I guess it's, I mean, she
But she'd given loads of money to him, which he'd spent. You know, the whole thing was, you know, it was pretty toxic.
Yes,
the whole thing was very toxic. They were a very toxic couple by the end of it. So the headless man, no one knows who the headless man was. That's always been, apparently he was...
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes. That it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Very famous, but no one knows who he was. So
he was getting head in one capacity. Had to be there, surely. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but it was.
So it was either Errol Flynn, apparently, but I don't think in those days they knew that Errol Flynn, I think, was gay. But I think then it was apparently Errol Flynn or Douglas Fairbanks Jr., who was in the government, or the head of Pan Am, apparently, was, people thought it might be him. It could have been, she had all these amazing famous friends. And all sorts of people like, oh, it could have been him, could have been him.
If you were a betting woman, who would you guess?
Well, apparently the latest one was the Pan Am or American Airlines or whatever. But I mean, no one knows. People have come up to us all 3 years saying, oh, it was my grandfather, it was my great grandfather.
Do you get people coming up, really?
And then we get left saying, I know who it was, but no one knows who it was. Claim. No one, it's never come out who it was.
And she was found guilty, obviously.
She lost the court case.
Yeah. What then happens to her?
She then moves to London. She is the grandmother of the Rutlands. So her daughter, who was called Frances Sweeney, I think, then marries the Duke of Rutland. So she's still moving in quite big circles. And I think people, you know, she lived in the Grosvenor House Hotel and she was very popular.
Sure.
And she was very apparently she was,
a lot of the guys were like, you know, I'm going to hang out with this woman for a little bit.
She seems stunningly beautiful.
Yeah. Okay.
She's one of those people I think had real presence. She'd walk into a room and she had amazing clothes.
So she ended up sitting out the rest of her days in a hotel down in London.
She lived in a hotel and then she went and was in a nursing home. So she didn't have any money. She finished all her money. I think that all went. Yes. But she was, you know, she had a big following.
Yeah.
I think she was a real character.
Yeah, she sounds
I don't know if she was nice or not, but she was a real character.
How does your husband feel about the whole thing?
So Torkel's grandfather died in 1973.
Right, okay.
So Torkel was like 4 or 5 or something. So,
so that's
one of the reasons we agreed to do the filming. So before, when Torkel's father was alive, the whole topic was banned. We weren't allowed to talk about it because he was so caught up in it, because he was a child in it and obviously quite damaged by it all, because it was just so awful. But when it came to me and Torkel, actually there's no one left who's really involved in it. So you know, and she did amazing things for the castle. She put in plumbing and she put in electricity and she did amazing things for us. I don't think she was very good for the family, but for the house, she was very good. And she was very popular. And
also, I think it's actually something about having the story out there a bit better, because she's not an evil person in this story.
No,
she's
just a really bad combination.
It's a bad combination, exactly. But, you know, he wouldn't have been easy. She wasn't easy. So, yeah, you're not really slandering her. You're actually trying to sort of paint as more of a human.
The filming was, I think, very fairly done. No one came across better or worse. And the fact they filmed it in the castle, which meant we could keep it for a bit longer for, you know, people to come look at.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Did you all, as a family, sit down to watch it?
Yes.
You did?
But Charlotte's actually, my daughter was quite young then, so when did it came out? About 2 years ago, didn't it? So she was 12 then, so she didn't really understand a lot of, you know, the linen cupboard scenes. She was like, what on earth are they doing there? Like, anyway, it was quickly
they're
move
wrestling.
On to she said, Mummy, you'd be so cross if someone did that in your cupboard. We were quite right. Yeah. Someone ruined my nicely ironed pillowcases.
Were there any surprises while watching it? Were you going, ooh, I didn't expect that to be in?
No, we were just very pleased that the kilt was looking so nice, that our friend's kilt looked so splendid. No,
who is this friend, this kilt? This
she's the lovely kilt lady. She works in our shop as well.
Has she got...
Anne.
Anne.
Lovely Anne, yes.
Okay. If you ever need a kilt...
Come to my shop. I'll get it made for you.
Do it, yeah.
Yeah.
Email us in at Bad Manners. DM us on Instagram, and then we'll put you in touch with Anne, the lovely kilt lady.
In hindsight, we probably should have worked out some kind of paid partnership deal with Anne, the lovely kilt lady. Anne, if you're listening and you're now a millionaire, remember your old pal Tom, yeah? That's it for this episode. I'm off to Tobermory Bay to find a galleon. Wish me luck. Until next time, avoid the lightning, destroy your Polaroids, and mind your manners.
Thanks for listening to Bad Manners. If you like the pod, please share it with your friends. Rate it on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a review and make sure you spill the tea on any of your favourite bad manners that we could feature in future episodes. This podcast was produced by Atomize Studios for iHeartRadio. It was hosted by me, Tom Horton. It was produced by Willa Malensky, Rebecca Rappaport, and Chris Attaway. It was executive produced by Faye Stewart and Zad.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.